Thank you for joining us for Life in Taxes with tax attorney Andrew Foster of Harvell & Collins Attorneys at Law. Because I'm the tax man. Call now with your tax questions at 252-222-4848.
And we want to welcome Andrew Foster from Harvell & Collins, our tax man, Life in Taxes, our segment on Thursday. I was just jesting that you got dressed in the dark, but truth be told, you got dressed in the dark this morning.
Did get dressed in the dark this morning.
You look fine.
So the only good thing is that Apple Watch just dinged and my wife says our power's back on. So
oh, fantastic.
Our Blair Farm listeners out there, enjoy the heat coming back on, maybe
breaking
a warm
news.
Shower.
Yeah, breaking news. Yeah, very good. Well, that's good. This too shall pass. What do you have for us today, Andrew?
So today, Mike, I wanted to talk about IRS collections. And interestingly enough, we have a report that just came out, the Treasury Inspector General for Tax Administration. That's a mouthful.
Yeah, say that 10 times.
This organization has reviewed, there on a biannual basis, they review and release a report relative to the private company tax debt collection. So we got to go back a little bit. Mm-hmm. And in 2015, in the Fixing America's Surface Transportation Act, the FAST Act of 2015, all the way back in the
Obama
administration,
last year.
It passed the ability for private companies to collect tax debt. So the process basically is this, Mike. If you happen to owe tax, and how do you owe tax? A couple different ways. One way is you self-assess, i.e. you file your tax return. That's called a self-assessment, because you're saying, this is what I owe.
And you sign the form.
And you sign the form and you send it in, and therefore if it show a balance owed, you now owe that amount of money. Could be that you went under audit. It could be that your return got selected.
Flagged.
Got flagged and selected. Yeah. And it turns out you may not have reported everything accurately, and they have assessed an additional tax that's now owed. That's another way you could be in the IRS collection cycle, owed and you cannot pay. Another way is that you just failed to file your returns.
Didn't do it.
You just didn't do it, and then the IRS took what they had and filed for you. That's called a substitute for return, and that thus began the collection cycle. So now here you are, you owe some money to the IRS, and you don't really want to kind of bury your head in the sand, because that's probably your natural instinct, is to say, I know I owe this money, but I can't pay it, so I'm just going to sit there and do nothing, potentially.
Hope it goes away.
And lo and behold, the IRS sends you a couple letters. They send you a notice saying, hey, you owe. All right, now we might levy you. Okay, now we're going to take your state tax refund if you happen to have that. And then that don't really bother you anymore.
All done.
You think it's okay. It's over. And the next thing you know, you get a letter from a private debt company. And the private debt companies in this particular regard are Performant Recovery, Pioneer Credit Recovery, CBE Group, and Conserve Accounts Receivable Management. And these companies, Mike, are just that. They then can collect your debt as if it were a credit card debt or a medical debt. Call you up on the phone, which is what the IRS, you know, typically does not do. We've talked about that before.
And you almost think it's a scam.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
So, and I had one client who came in shortly after this was passed, showed me their letter. They were trying to recover from a corporation that they previously had that was now, defunct. And, you know, I said, yeah, this is completely legit, totally legit, you know, that they're trying to collect this debt. Now, the good news in her situation is they could only collect against the corporation, not her personally. So I said, you know, really, I mean, I wouldn't do anything about it. It went with her regard. But if you find yourself in this boat where you do get contacted, you do find out that this private collection agency is now on you and is now able to call you and harass you a little bit. You know, it's not a good spot to be in. And so some of the numbers, you know, bear out, you know, in this report, Mike, and I think it's very enlightening, because, you know, the question becomes, this is always one of those fads, I guess is the best way to say it. Mm-hmm. It comes in and it goes out. And then the Congress sits there and goes, hey, we should probably collect some more tax debt. Let's get the private companies back in here.
Yeah.
What would you think their percentage of collection would be? What do you think?
Under a third.
So you're thinking under a third.
Yeah.
How about less than 2%?
Ooh, wow. Yeah.
Less than 2%.
Not too effective.
So the highest is 1.84%. The total amount given to them was $30 billion of collectibles. $30 billion with a B.
That they actually collected, or yeah. That was their universe?
That was the amount that they gave them to collect.
Okay.
3 million accounts, $30 billion.
And of that, they got 1.8%.
Of that, they got 540 million, which happens to be about 1.7, 1.8%. So they're less than 2%. The IRS rate, just so people know, about 9% that they're able to collect from, really? From assessed debts that are owed. So, you know, are they successful? It doesn't appear that they're that successful on paper. But, you know, I would tell our listeners they do have a little bit more ability to contact you and put pressure on you that the IRS typically doesn't do, because the IRS use, and we'll get into this, what I'll call enhanced collection means to try to get you to pay.
Can they garnish the private companies?
The private companies cannot. They cannot garnish.
Okay.
How do we get here? How do they collect less than 2%, Andrew? You're sitting here going, this is kind of crazy. How do they still, you know, have a job, basically?
Is that 2% in dollars or 2% of the individual? In other words, is it 2 cents on the dollar, or is it 2% of the people who owe?
It's 2% of the collectible amount.
So it's money. It's 2%. Yeah. It's 2 cents on the dollar.
So it's 2% of whatever they're given.
Yeah.
You know, to collect on. Oof. Why? Why is that? Why is it? Why are we at 2%? Well, one of the recommendations in the report is that they're giving them shorter time periods on collection. So we got to get back to, what does this collection cycle mean? Whenever you get an assessed debt, there's a statute of limitations on collection that's 10 years.
Right.
And what the report has said is that they're giving them in the back half of the collection cycle. So they have less amount of time to actually collect this debt that's due and payable. It did go up a little bit from the last report. It was about four and three quarters years, up to about 5 1/3 years. So they've given a little bit more time to collect, but not much.
Yeah.
You know, relative to that. The other recommendation that I think is very intriguing and I think might actually help the process is that once these companies get these debts, you know, they want you to pay in full, and they put the heat on you to pay in full. And if you go, hey, I just want to pay, I can't pay the full amount that I owe, I'll pay something. And their answer is no, you got to pay it in full. Is that really a good strategy to try to encourage taxpayers to pay and collect this debt that's owed? Not really.
Yeah.
And there's no vehicle, Mike, to get these collectibles back to the IRS so you can get into a status with them, i.e. an installment agreement or something of that nature.
Sure, you have a heartbeat and you're alive and you're willing to do something.
Yeah.
I just can't do it all right now.
So what happens in these typical things? Well, typically these people go, well, I can't pay the amount in full. So what do? They don't pay anything.
Nothing.
And then what do? You just try to wait to run out the clock, mm-hmm. that 10-year collection cycle. So that's been an effort, and that's been something that, honestly, I've spoken with some of my clients who happen to owe debt to the IRS or to their private debt collection agency, whatever it may be, is we're always cognizant of this 10-year window. Mm-hmm. And it appears that that's a fairly decent strategy, because the fact is that they can't accept partial payments, and they're also not a process to refer these cases back to the IRS.
Yeah.
The other thing is that, the IRS, for their part and their collections, happen to be putting less levies and liens, on individuals' property. So therefore, they're not using this, what I call enhanced collection action. They're not taking advantage of this. So the 10-year window is very, very important for our listeners to understand. You know, this is this 10-year window. And once you hit that 10-year window, that debt goes poof.
Gone.
So I would tell, you know, all of our listeners out there that if you find yourself owing these types of taxes, and whether it's with a private debt company that's now coming after you to collect these tax debts, or the IRS collecting these tax debt, you know, there is hope. There's light at the end of the tunnel, whether it's to try to work something out with the IRS at the very end of a collection cycle, or whether it's, you know, hey, if they won't work with you, then don't work with them, if that's going to be the process and procedure that we've got here. Because the fact is, the process appears to be a little broken, is the best way for me to say it. And unfortunately is encouraging individuals right now, Mike, to potentially,
brush it aside.
Run out the clock a little
Try
bit.
To.
Yeah. Until the IRS revamps this collection process,
mm-hmm.
I hate to say this, but it's not a bad strategy to employ, because, you know, you can't get blood from stone.
Right.
You know, if a person doesn't have the money to be able to pay it, and they're trying to pay it over time and you won't take a partial payment. What are we doing here?
Yeah.
You know, what are we doing?
You mentioned earlier in illustrating this, that several of your clients have received this, and working with the IRS or getting notification from the IRS, let alone a collection agency, is very intimidating
yes.
to the common man.
Yes.
Somebody who's not a client currently of yeah. Harvell and Collins and receives a similar notification from a collections agency, can they call you for an initial consultation?
Yeah. And the big thing here is timing.
Yeah.
Because I've kind of mentioned it, we've rushed through a lot, and I'll do a longer program about the collection process and the cycle and how this happens.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think that it's important because all of these letters that you receive just have such specific time periods that you have to respond by. And if you don't do it, I mentioned the inclinations to bury your head in the sand, you could miss a very important deadline, Mike, where we could actually maybe knock that number down from the very beginning.
Yeah, so time is of the essence.
But the minute that gets assessed
yeah.
and we're stuck with it, then you know, our options become a lot more limited in what we're trying to do and the strategy that we employ in order to get you the best resolution possible with the IRS or the private debt collection
agency. So would you advise somebody receiving a letter just out of the blue, and they know if they owe money, or they have an yeah. inkling that they owe money, rather than calling back or trying to communicate with this sender of this letter, to contact Harvell and Collins
Certainly.
First and get you on their side?
Certainly. Let's see what we can do.
Yeah.
You know, and I'll tell you, I mean, just like I told you with the client that came in with the corporation,
right.
what should I do, Andrew? Well, I would let them know that the corporation has no assets and there's no way to collect on this particular debt.
Getting blood from a stone.
That's right.
Give Andrew a call today for your taxes and other legal advice. And if you get one of these letters, quickly call him, 252-726-9050. Go on to HarvellandCollins.com for more information. Again, Andrew Foster's number, 252-726-9050. Thanks, Andrew.